Welcome to another episode of Them As Burgers.
Yes.
It's been another week in our burger lives.
Another week.
However, Scarlett has had her first session of her diagnosis.
I have, yes.
We're not going to talk about it today, but I'm just bringing it up because... It's big burger news.
It is big burger news. The reason we're not going to bring it up today is instead of doing it in like installment by installment as it happens, I would rather once it's finished talk about it as a whole because I feel like that would be a better way of going about it. But we want to do an episode on the whole system.
Might be more than an episode.
Might be more than an episode. But yeah, we definitely want to talk about... Obviously, we can only speak for not only... how it's done in England. We can only speak about how it's done in the part of England that we're in, because I don't know if it's across the board. But it'll be interesting to talk about what questions they ask, thinking about maybe why they ask them. And I think it's good because the first session I did was about 2 hours long, just me and a therapist, and Nikki actually came with me and sat with me through it. So we'll talk about why that was, and also Nikki can give like quite a good input as well because he was there.
I just thought I'd mention it because you've had your screening, which we talked about a bit ago.
Yes.
And then you've had your first diagnosis session, which was 3 days
ago? 3 days ago. 3 days ago, yes.
And then you've got another one this Friday coming.
Yeah, in 5 days.
Yeah, and then they've got to make a phone call to your mum, find out baby stuff about you.
Yes.
And then we'll know.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, it seems like it's just going to be that. But when we talk about it, I'll also talk just briefly. I know I've already gone over it before, but I'll talk really briefly for anyone that hasn't heard as well, just about how I got to the stage of being put into diagnosis and what my first appointment with the actual adult Asperger's team was like, because I've mentioned it before, but I'll talk about it in a little bit more detail. I won't cover that one as much. But yeah, it'll be cool to talk about like the whole process and see what the results are. But yes, that is going on. We have both done another week of, I guess, this week was our third week of you not being management anymore and me not working there.
Yeah, it seems to go fine. I have been allowed noise-cancelling headphones at work, so I have been using them. I've used them once. We've had some new people come in and they were all round where I was and they were all talking too much. And I didn't think I need them. Like I say, my area manager said I should have them moved into test.
Yeah.
And that I should wear them when I'm either in the test bit of our store where we test products or if I'm doing stuff with the window displays, I should wear them. And I thought about that's a good idea. It seemed like a good idea at the time, and it was one of those things that I've always been like, I'm not that autistic though, or I've not got Asperger's in that way. I don't need noise cancelling headphones. Like, that's not something that is required for me. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, there's all these new people coming in, and I've noticed that now that I'm not management anymore, I don't control a lot of stuff anymore that I used to, and these people were in charge of me. And they were just in, and they're from a different store, different place, but they're just covering because we've not got a management in our store at the moment, mainly because me and you both, well, I stepped down and you left, so they're really undermanaged. So they're bringing in people from other shops that have got their own ideas, and they want to change a load of stuff, and they want to do a load of things, which I probably should say something to somebody, because I've realised that that's actually quite a problem for me.
Yeah.
I just have them come in and change stuff. I think the first thing I said to you when I got back from work was like, oh, they want to do this and they want to do that. And I kind of do that thing where I dismiss it, like, it's not a big problem. I just kind of go, like, wind your neck in, you're only there for a weekend. But I've realised that I found myself getting really agitated with them. And they weren't even talking to me. They were just talking to themselves. So there's two people that came in from another shop and they were just having a chat with each other like, oh, we should move this, we should move that, that should change, you know, we should move these bits over here. And I did almost be like, what are you doing? Like, I almost went over to them and just went, it's not your place to change things. Don't change things. And I've realised that that's one of the things. So I might have to mention it to my area manager, because I'm seeing him tomorrow, and just say, look, if you're going to bring all these people in, if they're going to make changes, either they just make the changes and they don't tell me about it, or they don't make changes.
Yeah.
Or they're going to tell me like way before what they're planning.
I think what would be more irritating about this is, as you said, a lot of them are only there for, they're just sort of bringing in clumps of people at a time. They're only really there for 2-3 days each, and then someone else comes in. So if one person's only there for 2-3 days, is changing something, the next person that comes in might then change it back or change it again, or do you know what I mean? And that just means it's a string. It's not like a nice, consistent, this person's here for good now, they've made this change and it's sticking. I think that is also an issue, isn't it? Because it's an inconsistency.
Well, I think since I've demoted myself, I found that I've become a lot more, my autism, I guess, is more visible than it was.
Yeah.
So I didn't think my autism was that visible. But I think that's because I was in control of a lot of things and did a lot of things, so it didn't come up. I've noticed that it's weird. And I imagine there's other people out there that have this. But if nothing happens, and if you keep everything, so everything like in check, so like me and my flat, and yeah, like when I'm at home, and when everything's a certain way, I don't think about my autism and I don't think about my Asperger's, and I almost forget that I've got it.
Yeah.
And it's been that way with this job for the whole time, is everything's been controlled. And it hasn't been something that's come up at work. When's the last time it was something that I discussed with my like area manager?
Yeah,
it's not. It hasn't come up in ages. But now there's this thing where I've demoted myself and like loads of stuff's changing and stuff, it feels like Asperger's is my life again at work. And I haven't had this in a while. It's not something that has come up. It came up when I first started this job, and in previous jobs, I said before, I got diagnosed mid working my previous job, and I was almost going to get fired from a previous job because of my Asperger's, but I didn't know what it was at the time. And then once I got diagnosed, the reason I wasn't going to get fired, it was because the previous job I had, I think I've mentioned it, they had this rule where the first 10 seconds of someone coming into the store, you're to go from behind the counter and go and approach them and start talking to them and trying to sell them stuff.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. And my boss at the time was just like, you need to do it. Like, this is the job. Everyone else is doing it. You need to start doing it. And I'd never do it. I'd pretend I didn't see the person or duck behind something or that kind of thing. And she felt like I was just being like disobedient. And she was kind of telling me that I need to get good at this, otherwise I'm gone. But then I managed to get diagnosed sort of halfway through that. And then my therapist, I remember that, she came in and she had a meeting with my boss, with me there.
Oh, wow.
And she told them that they can't make me do whatever.
Yeah.
And then a plan was drawn up and changes were made, and I was exempt from certain jobs in the store. And I've told you they leaked to everybody that I had autism anyway, so nobody kicked off and saying, well, why is he not doing it?
Yeah.
So I just did that, and that was fine.
Yeah.
And that's the last time. But with this, all these changes that are happening now, my autism seems to come up a lot. And I didn't think these noise cancelling headphones would be something that I'd use.
Yeah.
But I found myself using them on Thursday. Thursday was the last day I was at work. On Thursday, these two new people were in. The manager, who's like a temporary manager at the moment, he was there, and all three of them were like right next to me. And they all hadn't seen each other in a while. They were all from the same place originally. They were just catching up, talking. And they'd already done this thing where they were walking around the store going, oh, we should change this, we should change that. And that had got me like super like on edge and annoyed anyway.
Yeah.
So then when they all just started standing next to me and started being like loud with their conversations, I just all of a sudden needed these headphones, and I hadn't had them in test. I was told to move them in there, but I hadn't. I'd left them in the window, and I just thought, I don't care. So I'll grab them if I need them. But then I got them, put them on, turned them on, and it was fine. Like, I calmed right down.
Yeah.
But initially, this is one of the things that bothered me, is the temporary manager we've got knows why I was wearing them, because he's seen my risk assessment and that kind of thing. So he kind of went, are you all right? Are you a bit stressed? And I wasn't a bit stressed. I didn't feel stressed. I just felt a bit like everything was a bit too sensory for me right now. And if I was going to continue doing my job, I couldn't have the distraction of these people stood next to me talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would just stop me from doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I just thought, pop them on now and then I can get on with my job. But obviously, a lot of people don't understand it. And he's kind of read my risk assessment. And I think he sees it as I put the headphones on when I'm stressed out, or do you know what I mean? Which I don't want it to be seen that way, because then it just looks like if the headphones are on, I'm not coping. And I was coping, because I feel like if I wasn't coping, it would have been the opposite. If I wasn't coping, I wouldn't have put them on.
Yeah, no.
I just would not have been able to like function properly. So yeah, it's odd. Now he doesn't know. But then after I left that day, I realised that I need these headphones, so I didn't want them to be sold. So instead of putting them back in the window with a price on them, which is what I've been doing, I've put them on the top shelf of the test area with a note on them saying, Nikki's test headphones don't sell. And they need taking off stock and that kind of thing. Yeah. But one of the other member of staff saw me put this note on them and put them up on the shelf, and they were like, oh, what are they for? And because I'm now like, I don't want people knowing what they're for, or why I've got them, or what's the reason behind me having headphones in test. I just went, they're just my test headphones. And then I left. But yeah, I don't want word getting around that's what they're there for. But then I'm worried, like, how do I explain that? You know, like, if people work out why I've got them, because I'll be the only person in the store that's got them. No one else will be allowed to use them. That's the thing as well, because obviously if they think I'm just not wanting to listen to people and I've put music on and they think that's why I'm using them, there might be other people that decide, well, I'm in test, I can wear the headphones, put them on, start listening to music. Which, if I see people wearing them while I'm in test, I mean, imagine if they were like your test headphones, you come into work someone's in test just wearing them. So now I'm not sure whether or not to tell people what they're for or why I've got them. But then, like I say, I felt a bit weird with my temporary boss at the moment coming over and going, are you all right? You okay? Because obviously putting them on is the same reason I said I don't like wearing like the ear defenders that people on the spectrum wear or that kind of thing. It makes it obvious that there's something different about you. And my whole thing is to appear not different. And I mean, we were talking about this the other day. Your diagnosis seems to be moving along pretty quickly. Yes. It's like, you had your screening, you've had your first session, you've got another session, and then they're calling your mom, and then I think you're done. Whereas with me, when they did mine, I had a therapy session, then a second therapy session, then a screening, then 3 2-hour interviews, then a couple of weird tests with pictures of people, and I had a faux pas test, and something that was a test on whether or not I understand like sayings and what they mean to me, and then they called my mom. Like, mine went on for a year of stuff, and yours seems to be, like, I initially thought that this is just since I last got diagnosed, because it's been, like, 8 years, it's been seriously streamlined, the service that they provide. But I'm starting to think that it's because, not that you're, like, obvious, but I think with me it's less obvious. And the reason it's less obvious is my whole coping mechanism is appearing normal and appearing NT and not wanting to appear autistic in any shape or form. That's my coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And it's from years of like learned behavior of my autism getting me into trouble as a child, and me hiding my traits and hiding my autism from everyone because it stops me from being told off. So I'm in like a weird like conundrum or whatever it's called at the moment, because putting the headphones on makes it obvious that I'm on the spectrum if people eventually work out that's what they're for, but they'd have to so they don't use them themselves.
Yeah.
I need them to calm down a little bit while we're doing these changes when I'm not in charge, but I will start not wanting to wear them if people like notice it that it's, do you know what I mean? Like, always got his headphones on.
Yeah.
He's not coping. So I'm in a weird, it's a weird thing to do that, because the second I put them on, I felt like relaxed and calm and like, oh, this is much better. But then when my boss came over and went, are you all right? Are you coping? I, for some reason, had this urge to just take them off.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though I wasn't ready to take them off yet, I wanted to like whip them off my head and like put them away and just be like, oh yeah, no, I was just testing them. I was just making sure they still work, you know? So I had to fight that urge and I just kept them on and just went, yeah, I'm fine. And then like carried on wearing them. But obviously like, he doesn't care if I say to him, yeah, I'm fine. He doesn't believe that because he's just like, well, why is the headphones on then? So yeah, it's an odd thing. It's a change that's been made at work, and I was all right with it. But and obviously this episode, we said last week that we were going to do other additional things that come with Asperger's. And obviously I obviously did a executive functioning disorder last week. That's come up as well this week. So one of the people that have come from another store wanted to put a new system in. It was like a sheet where you write people's names in and who's doing what job. And I was busy doing something else. I was like testing like loads of different stuff at the same time, and I was busy. And it was obvious that I was busy, and I could hear her talk to one of the people and say, all right, I'm going to go to all the different members of staff and like see how they feel about this idea. And yeah. I just thought, don't come to me. Don't come to me. Like, if I don't look at you, if I don't pay attention, if I just pretend like you're not there, you won't talk to me. But she just moved over to the area I'm in, put the paper down on the desk next to me, and I was just like, oh, why me first? But then I had this thought in my head, at this point, I'm not going to absorb this information because I am busy doing the thing I'm doing. I'm too absorbed in the order of things that I was doing things in. I'm not going to absorb this information anyway, so what does it matter? So I pulled the executive functioning disorder card, as it were, and I just kind of went, she was talking to me for ages, and I just thought, do I stop her? How do I do this? This is the first time I've been allowed to use this, because in my risk assessment, I was told that I can say it and just say, look, I'm not absorbing any information today. So sorry, but I can't do this. But I thought, do I just wait till she's finished talking? Do I cut her off halfway through? What I did in the end is I waited till she finished talking and just went, I didn't listen to any of that. Like, I just didn't listen to any of that. And she just went, oh, okay, well, I'll start again. And I just went, nah. I was like, don't bother. I was like, I'm not really listening. I'm not really paying attention. Why don't you just go to somebody else? Just go do them instead. They're better off with you. And like, I kind of did it in a rude way. So I'm still not sure how to do this, how to tell someone I'm not listening, but not because I can't be bothered to listen. I just can't listen. But since we've done this executive functioning thing, since this person that mentioned it on our Facebook page, I've noticed that it's easier to do that kind of stuff now. Like, I was talking to you the other day, wasn't I? You was at work. I was at home, and I was just like, oh, I need to like polish the dust in my flat.
Yeah.
And I need to throw the bins out. But I'd been sat on the sofa for about 2 hours thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I'd realised I had no message. You were like, are you having a good day? And I messaged you back like, yeah. But I need to get up and I need to throw these bins out and I need to do this. And it was my job that I was supposed to be doing all day. And once you said, oh, it's fine if you don't, like, don't worry about it, like that kind of thing, I realised that it's hard for me to, you know, connect the dots. But I did eventually just think, oh, yeah, it's because of the executive functioning thing.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, that's not too bad then. It doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter that I haven't done it. If I don't do it, I don't do it. It's all right. And I felt like relaxed. And it's one of those things like I said before, the reason I got diagnosed was because I wanted to be more comfortable with the things I was doing. So getting diagnosed for me was good because I had this like Asperger's shield to get behind every time something happened that I knew was related to it.
Yeah.
I found that much easier. And yeah, it's the same with this executive functioning disorder. Somebody said on our Facebook page was a couple of days ago that I can't get a diagnosis of executive functioning disorder. So
because it's a trait of Asperger's.
Yeah. So I know my mom was talking about trying to get some sort of diagnosis for it to help, but apparently you can't. But it doesn't matter. Like, I've already said it to my boss. My boss has accepted it's a thing, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's good knowing about it now, because
what I think is good about it is it seems like now you know about it, one, it's kind of takes the pressure off a bit. If you don't do something, instead of being really hard on yourself for not doing it, you can say to yourself, well, it's because of this. But also, when you messaged me, I replied with like, well, if you don't get it done, don't worry, I can do it. But it seems like, because it kind of takes that pressure off, because I know that with you, in the same way you don't like being told what to do by someone, you also, I don't think you really like feeling like you have to do something, even if it's you that's making you do it. I think it's the same as if someone else tells you you have to do it. In your head, I think there's a part of you that's like, but I don't want to. So if there's this acceptance of this like executive function and you say like, oh, well, if I don't do it, it's because of this, it almost makes you more inclined to do it because you feel like that you have to do this isn't there. I don't know if that's true. I've just noticed that you do seem to be better with it.
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I think since it's like everything else. It's since I had an it's had a name. Like with me, I know not for everybody. Not everybody wants diagnosis, and not everybody wants to be officially, you know, labeled.
Yeah.
But for me, every time something has a label, it is easier, and it's more. I can live it. Like even if the thing I had was something horrific, you know.
Yeah.
Like I can't think of something really bad where I was like, I don't know, not. I don't know, like, trying to think of something, like, weird. Like, pulling my own hair out, you know? Yeah. Like, just pulling, like, big strands of my hair out. Initially, I wouldn't know what it was, and I'd think, like, I was, like... I just think the worst about it. But then if someone goes, oh, it's a condition called this, I'd just be like, oh, cool. And then that would be that. Like, the next time I did it, I'd just be like, doesn't matter, it's a condition. And it's the same with this. Like, the executive function disorder was always something that bothered me initially, and I know it's only been like a couple of weeks, but the more I've learned about it, the more it is, the more I'm thinking, yeah, that's definitely what it is. And it's made things easier. It's made things just much simpler. Like it, and it's like the other stuff that comes with Asperger's. So the dyslexia, the dyspraxia, you know, like I crashed a lot of cars. I've come off my bike lots of times, but I just kind of thought I'm a terrible driver. I'm a terrible cyclist.
Yeah.
You know, what is wrong with me? But then it's like, it's dyspraxia. And you're just like, oh, cool. That's what it is. Then the next time I had a crash, I was like, oh, yeah, I've got weird special awareness thing. It doesn't matter. And I've got a investigation meeting with my boss tomorrow at work because of some errors I've made paperwork-wise at work. But I know about my dyslexia. It's not something that I initially knew. But I learned what dyslexia was. I've learned or I've read about it. Like I've, do you know what I mean? Like I've understood it.
Yeah.
Once I was told that it was my, you know, it's one of those things that can come with autism. It's under the Asperger thing. Like once I got diagnosed and I knew that it was the Asperger's, the things that I have done in my life that I've always kind of thought, why have I done that? That's stupid. Or why have I done that? Like, it's just embarrassing. Like I can't understand it. It made everything easier.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with anything else that comes with it. So these like weird side effects or additional things that come with it that I'm talking about, they fall and I get the same relief of when I do them of just going, it's just that I can't help it. So it doesn't matter. It automatically goes away. It's not like with the executive functioning disorder, I want them like fixed or I need to then work on how not to do them.
Yeah.
For me, it's more, it's got a name. It's why I've done it. It doesn't matter. It's the not knowing. It's the not knowing
yeah.
that for me is worse, or doing something that you don't know what it is. We were talking about this yesterday. It was after we got back from a run. It's a bit of a side note, but I thought I'd mention it just in case anybody else that is listening to this knows. But like while you were doing your screening thing,
yes,
with your with your boss, he mentioned something about not wanting to put sauce or gravy or, you know, food touching.
Yeah.
Which is a common trait for those on the spectrum. But it's not... I never used to have gravy on things as a kid. But I didn't do it because I didn't like gravy on stuff and I didn't like everything touching. The guy was explaining it and saying that's because when you put sauce on something, sauce touches everything.
Yeah.
And you were agreeing with him. But it made me think of something I did. And this is something that I wonder if anybody else has done. But I realized that when I was younger, I always picked the thing that was different. So I always picked,
You said, like, if there was some toys, everyone would want one type of toy, so you would pick the other.
Yeah, like with Power Rangers, things like that. Everybody wanted to be a certain one, or everybody's favorite ranger was the whichever ranger, and I'd just pick the one that no one ever says.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, my favorite's this one. And I'd think, like, do I like that one? I don't think I do. I used to think it was just a case of, I don't know what I like. But then secretly I knew I liked the one everybody else did and I was a little bit odd about it. And like same with dinner, when we had the roast dinner on Sunday, everybody would have gravy except me. And it's not that I didn't like gravy or have the sorts thing, but I just wanted to have the dinner that looked different. And while your guy was talking to you and like obviously going through diagnosis stuff with you, it made me realize why I do that. And I think the reason I did it as a kid is I think even as a child, even if you're not diagnosed and those out there that I listened to this, you know, you probably felt the same. You know you're different when you're on the spectrum. You don't need the diagnosis, yeah. Which is why some people don't get it. You just know that you're not the same as everybody else.
Yeah.
But I needed people to know. It's the same reason that I got diagnosed. I needed people to know. And I realized that this thing, like not having gravy on my food, it was because when you put all the plates on the table, there's like four of us, there's four dinners, three of them look the same and one of them looks different. And I realized that the reason I did that kind of stuff was because I was trying to tell people that I'm different and there's something different about me. So I intentionally used to pick the odd thing or be different. You know, like if I went somewhere and everybody was doing like, we were meeting people and they were all doing like a handshake, everyone would handshake, then me like high five, just so people would realize that, oh, that was weird. He just did that. And I did it like, I've done it like my entire life up until I got diagnosed. Once I got diagnosed, I started, if I wanted to do the same thing as everybody else, I did do the same thing as everybody else. But I used to pick the weird stuff. I used to dress in a way that was slightly different, just so people would realize that I was different. And I've realized now that when the guy said it, that I purposely would pick the thing that nobody else was picking just to show everybody that I'm not the same. But I think it was more like a notice that I'm not the same, will you? And like, will everybody notice that I'm different? And obviously nobody did, but I've realized that I used to pick stuff that I didn't want to do and pick things that I didn't really want and like not have gravy on my food when I wanted the gravy. Because every opportunity I had to point out that I was not the same as everybody else, I had felt like I had to take just to get someone to notice. Once I'd got the diagnosis, since I've had the diagnosis of Asperger's, I have not done that once. I have not felt the need to show somebody I'm different. I haven't had to do it. So if I pick the same thing as everybody else, I will. If I do the same thing as everybody else, that's fine. It's like even with like phones now, before diagnosis, I'd always pick the weird phone that people would go, why have you got that? We're all getting we're all getting iPhones. Why have you picked this thing? And I try and justify it with like, oh, it's good for this, it's good for that, and that thing. But now, like the phone I've got now is like mainstream, as everybody's got this phone, but it doesn't make a difference to me. That was just a weird side thought I had when mentioning it, and I was just wondering, like, anybody that's listened to this, like, I wonder if they did a similar thing. Because you do know you're autistic way before anyone suggested it, way before you've ever heard what it's called.
It's just before you understand it, different.
You recognize it in yourself that you're not the same as everybody else. And like I've said before, I used to feel like I was like a different species to everybody
an
else. Because you see like all these people having like correlating thoughts. They're all like in sync. They're all doing the same thing, behaving the same way, interacting fine. And then you just think like, why is this not natural to me? Same thing. But yeah, that's like a massive tangent. One of the things I wanted to bring up for this podcast. Oh, go on.
Sorry, I just had a couple of thoughts off what you said that I wanted to talk about. Like, one of them was the noise cancelling headphones that you mentioned for you. I currently, at the moment, I've got a pair of noise cancelling headphones that are really good. And I've just found that at my new job, they've been particularly helpful. They're really helpful for like going into town and going into shops. But I know I just wanted to bring this up is that I'm still in training at the moment. So I'm spending like my whole shift every day in a room with the same group of people. The group of people I'm with, they're very sociable. They all like to chat and joke. They like small talk. And I would much rather just learn the stuff, not have any small talk or socializing, go home. And on my breaks, I go and sit on my own on my breaks. So like there was one day where everyone was being really chatty and I felt like they were being chatty to the point of it really hindering the amount of learning we were doing. So that was bothering me a bit. And I was starting to get a headache. I was starting to get really worked up. I was really fidgety. I could tell I was sort of huffing a bit in my seat and getting quite irritated, I suppose, not outwardly, but just in my head. I kept every time someone would, because you know, like the people training us, they'd make a comment like, oh, okay, so with this it's almost like, well, think of it like the gym. And then all of a sudden someone would go, the gym, I do this at the gym, absolutely nothing to do with what we're doing. But then there's a 10-minute conversation that follows about, I don't know, lifting different types of weights, and I'd be thinking, that's good, why don't you talk about that on your lunch break? But I found that when I went on my break that day, having the really bad headache that I had and feeling just a little bit irritated, I don't know, I put the noise cancelling headphones on, and before I even had any music on, just the noise cancelling headphones, and where I sit on my lunch break is like a private booth, and it's quite dark, the lights are quite dim, and the combination of the dim lights and the headphones, just instantly all of those annoyed thoughts just went away and I felt absolutely fine. So I just found that noise cancelling headphones are actually really good. Another thing I've found is when I'm sat at my desk, I'm on like an open plan floor, so there's loads of stuff going on around me, and I didn't notice it when I was at my old job, but I'm really inquisitive, in a way that I didn't really notice, because before my old job I was always around the same people, and when new people came in it was just like one at a time or a couple at a time, and I had my own sort of time to deal with it. But in this office I don't really know anyone, I don't know that much about the job, and I've realised that I don't want to say nosy, but to a point of being nosy, where I constantly want to know what everyone's doing, what everyone's talking about, why they're talking about it, and weird stuff. Like, I feel like I'm not comfortable around people until I know almost too much information about them. Like, I like to know weird things, like what's their family situation like, how many brothers and sisters do they have, what did they do before they worked here, what, it's weird things like that that they have no bearing on me, but for some reason if someone starts talking to me and I don't know anything about them, I feel like I need to start knowing stuff about them before I'll almost listen to what they're saying. That's kind of tangenty, but when I'm sat at my desk I find that I'm constantly trying to listening to what other people are saying and other conversations people are having, instead of focusing on what I need to do. So I've started putting the noise cancelling headphones on, and my ones have like a button on them that basically just plays white noise if you click it. It's like a, yeah, it will just play almost like a fuzzy like white noise sound plus cancelling out all noise. And if I put those on, I can just focus on the screen, click away, no thoughts in my head. If I'm not wearing them, I find it really hard to focus on my screen because I want to know everything everyone's doing. If someone gets up to go to the toilet, I'm watching them. Where are they going? Why are they up? Even though it's someone that I don't know, they're not on my team, it doesn't affect me in any way, I'll still be looking like, why have they got up right now? Are they going on their break now? Is it break time? I don't know what's going on. How long are they going to be gone for? So yeah, it's just something that I've noticed because I never knew it before, because I didn't have this at the old job, because I sort of knew everyone, I'd worked it out, whereas I've just really noticed that noise cancelling headphones are actually really effective. If anyone has that issue of maybe not being able to focus, or yeah, getting overstimulated, I would definitely recommend maybe getting yourself a pair, because they are really handy. And another thing I wanted to mention was, with what you've been saying about the job and needing noise cancelling headphones and things being more irritating to you, I completely understand that. But one thing that I've really noticed about you is, prior to you stepping down, you were coming home from work and seeming a lot more angry or annoyed about something that happened, and there was a lot of moaning about people or the job. I have noticed that since you stepped down, you've been making comments a lot more, but you've definitely seem a lot more content, and I didn't know if that was true or not for you in like how you think about it.
I think it's like, it's because of two ways, because obviously previously I was in charge running things and I was trying to make everything be the way I wanted it to be. And I think I used to come home angry because things hadn't gone the way I wanted them to. I couldn't control the things I wanted to control, and everything got kind of out of hand, and that's why I was stressed. So like, my main issues were, I'm trying to control everything and I need everything to work a certain way, and it's my job to control everything and for it to be a certain way. And if things didn't go the way I thought they would, it was making me like agitated and worked up. And I think now I've got the opposite problem, where I don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff, but then I have to keep control of my own like I suppose, autism,
yeah,
and be okay with me not running everything and not being in control of everything and that. So, yeah, I think, like, once I'm not there and I'm here, I can control everything here, no problem.
Yeah.
So the relief is immediately gone the second I'm out the door.
Yeah.
Whereas there, like, do you know what I mean? It would be a thing where when I was in charge that, like, I couldn't do something that day, so I know I'd have to do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day, you know, and it was like there were long-running problems that I'd have to try and sort out. So I think I'd just keep bringing it home with me because I couldn't swap it, because for me, it's not the same. Like, and the thing is, when you have a job like that, is it's not like you can just, you know, people just let you go home, don't bring your work back with you, turn off, like, yeah, don't worry about it. I feel like that's not something you can just tell someone that's got Asperger's. You can't just say to them, oh, just shut off, you know, don't think about it. And it's like, oh, I always feel a little bit like patronizing them. It's like, oh, I've just got to not think about it. Cheers. That's a great piece of it. I just don't think about it. Awesome.
And like, as you were saying, because I just want to point out, I 100% did this as well. I would come home and rant about what was going on, especially because with our job, because we were management, the thing is, we would go home knowing that that's going to be our problem tomorrow. So it's instantly, you're already annoyed because you know that you've got to go and deal with that tomorrow and then probably the next day. So yeah, it is difficult to just not think about it.
Yeah, and I couldn't differentiate between what was like my personal life and what was my work life. A problem at work and a problem of personal life for me had the same bearing. So I didn't think like, oh, you know, whatever, it's work, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'd be thinking the same way as like, if I get home, whoa, I need this for dinner, I haven't got it in, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The problem for me didn't, I couldn't separate work and my personal life. A problem at work would weigh on me the same way a personal problem would, and vice versa, you know. I'd go to work worrying about stuff at home, and I'd come home worrying about stuff at work. And yeah, I think it was just too much. I'm surprised I did it for as long as I did it. Now that I'm not doing it, and now that I'm where I am now, I do think, like, what was I doing? Why did I think that was a smart idea for me to be in charge of something like that? Because I couldn't forget about it. It's not something, and like, you know, and sometimes it would keep me awake and it'd be really like trivial stuff that for everybody else that did that job, if I ever told them like, yeah, I was awake last night thinking about this, they'd just go, why? That's not even that important. But like, it's one of those things about autism that, do you know what I mean? Like you know, it's like some people stay awake at night because they've got to catch a bus in the morning, you know? And then like, there's a lot of people that just catch a bus, no problem.
Yeah, like that. The amount of dreams I had about that place, and the amount of times that I would just randomly, I'd come home, I'd think I was all right, I'd eat dinner, and then all of a sudden I'd get really annoyed because of something that had happened that day, and I'd think, why are you even thinking about it? Don't think about it. But yeah, I definitely, you, since stepping down, to me at least, and I don't know, I don't want to make a judgment on how you're feeling, but you seem a lot calmer. It definitely seems like there is more of a separation between your work life and your home life. And that was the other thing when we were in charge. We had like the work emails on our phones. A lot of the time we had to check them when we weren't at work. You constantly have to be up to date with things. So yeah, just, you seem a lot more relaxed now.
You didn't have to check the work emails.
Okay, no,
when
but
you
we
weren't
did
at work. And I think they recommended that you didn't do that. But yeah, I just would.
Yeah.
Because there were things that I was like worried about. But then I'd read things in the emails that were not to do with me and that were not related to me. And there was stuff that could wait, but for some reason I just involved myself.
Yeah, I used to do that. I'd read something and then go, why have they done this? And then all of a sudden I'm replying and I'm thinking, it's my day off.
I'm the only member of management. Like, there were there were three other people at the time that would see this email and reply to it. And I was off for 2 days, but I found myself like typing emails and like replies to stuff. And I was just like, why am I doing this? There's three other people that will catch it before I catch it. And I could just ignore this, but I wouldn't. And yeah, obviously I've not got that on my phone anymore, so I don't care. And yeah, low level, like entry level work at this particular job, I think is suitable for those on the spectrum.
Maybe with certain adjustments potentially having to be made, but it's doable.
I feel like it's easy for them to make adjustments for me because I'm a sales assistant now.
Yes, definitely.
Then making adjustments for a supervisor when I was a supervisor, because I think adjusting for management makes you think like, well, you know, they're in charge, and what if these situations come up and there's no one to hand it over to, you know?
Yeah,
whereas definitely. As a sales assistant, I can just move away from stuff, not do things, back off from stuff. You know, they have to make reasonable, I think it's reasonable adjustments. I can't just not do stuff. So there is also that level of, I can't just not do everything. Yeah. I don't want to do this because of this, because I feel like even with autism, like if you're at a job where you can't do like 60-70% of the job, then you shouldn't be doing that job.
Absolutely.
So I get that I still have to do my job, which I do.
Yeah.
But the reasonable adjustments are fine. But I think it's easier to make reasonable adjustments for someone that's a sales assistant over reasonable adjustments of someone that's, you know what I mean, like not a, that's like management. I think
yeah.
Well,
so, for example, as a member of management, you constantly have to be listening to everything that's going on in case like there's
a customer. I still do that.
Yeah. What I mean is, if you're a supervisor, you wouldn't be able to have noise cancelling headphones on because you constantly.
Good point.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. I know you still do it, but those things like that, just it would be impractical to do, because especially if you're the only member of management on at that time. If you've got noise cancelling headphones on, you're not listening to what everyone's doing. You don't know what's going on. If there's an angry customer that you need to step in, you wouldn't be aware of it. So yeah, just, and some of the other adjustments that you've been told can be made for you. I think if you were a supervisor or just a member of management, they wouldn't be possible really.
No. So yeah, that's good. Yeah, I know what you mean. Because as I say, there's no way I don't turn off from listening to everything.
No, like, I know.
It's like you saying when you want to know when people are going to the toilet and that kind of thing. I listen to like most things people are saying and doing or watching what everyone's doing and saying all the time, whether I want to or not. It's just something I've done. But because this episode was, like I say, we were supposed to do it on, we were going to pick like another thing.
Yeah.
Because obviously last week we did executive functioning disorder. Obviously that hasn't happened this week.
No.
And next week we're most likely going to be talking about your diagnosis.
Yes, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, we might be. It depends on if they've spoken to your mom yet, I guess. Because it would be good to have them speak to your mom, because they will do on Friday. No, they won't. They might not do. So you've got your appointment on Friday and then they've got to call your mom. So we might do the episode once they've spoken to your mom and then you've spoken to your mom.
Yeah.
So you can find out what they asked your mom.
Yeah, because it was interesting, I think, to know what things could link to autism. Not that every single question they asked me is directly linked to my autism, but it's interesting that question for some people could... You know,
I mean, they did. I mean, when they called my mom, it was the same. The thing they ask your mom is they want to know stuff about your birth. So like how your actual, how the given birth went.
Mm.
Was it normal? Were there any complications? And like interesting thing on that is there were complications with my birth and there were complications with your birth.
Yeah.
And my...
Half-sister.
Her birth wasn't traditional standard. It's one of those things that I was sat in the meeting with you and thinking, like, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Like, is there a correlation? I mean, there must be some sort of relevance to asking that question, because I was asked that and they asked my mom that.
Yeah.
And they asked you and they're going to ask your mom that. So it just makes you think, like, I wonder if that's related.
And like you say, again, it doesn't mean that everyone on the spectrum has had complications with their birth, but it's interesting that
question, it was a question,
was relevant to me, was relevant to you, was relevant to your half-sister, might not be relevant to other people on the spectrum.
But I just found it weird that they asked that question, because they asked my mom the same thing. Maybe once you spoke to your mom, we find out what they ask. Then I feel like we should go, as long as it's okay with you, like into detail over not your answers or anything, but just the whole process and
what they're looking
for, what they ask, that kind of thing. Because it's good, because it's nice that we've got a lot of people are posting on our Facebook group their diagnosis like process and like how everything they've gone through and how it's going for them. So yeah, I think a lot of people are interested in how you get diagnosed and how the process goes. And like you said, it's different depending on even like, not even just different country, but different parts of the country.
Yeah.
And are the same.
I know for a lot of people who are diagnosed, it might not be as interesting, but I'd really like to go into quite a lot of detail over it, just because as someone who is now going through the diagnosis,
Say it. Process.
Process. That's the one. That's the word. If there are other people out there who are waiting to go through that, I would have liked to have known as much information as possible, because I really like to know almost step by step. So if I can provide that, and maybe, and it might be quite interesting anyway, just to go through, I'd like to be able to do that. I'll definitely go into not every single question they asked, but every single sort of topic of question that was asked. I'd go through.
Yeah,
that.
Because once they've done it all, you get a report. You've seen my report.
Yeah.
It's like quite a hefty report on everything they asked, your answers, what they made them think, that kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to, I mean, we probably won't do it on the podcast, but like once your diagnosis comes through and once you get your hefty report, it'll be good to put them together, see how different yours is to my one.
Yeah, we might not post them, but no. We might talk about it on our group or on our Facebook page. We might We might do like a little bit where we talk about
But like
that. Yeah.
So quick, because we've only got like 15 minutes left of the episode.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about these this extra stuff that comes with autism, executive functioning disorder, dyspraxia, dyslexia, we've talked about it, obviously, last week. We've talked about it in previous episodes where it's come up that you don't realise that this extra stuff is... I feel like there's nothing... I think everybody that gets a diagnosis, or everybody that is on the spectrum or has Asperger's or is autistic or whatever you want to call it, They have these additional things. Everybody's got some of them. But this is... So like for the last 15 minutes, because obviously we've listed all mine and these episodes seem to be heavily on mine... What are yours? Because, like, as much as I keep thinking that everybody that's on the spectrum has these additional disorders, whatever, I literally can't think of one that you have that comes with it. And we always talk about, like, my one on this one, because, and we go into detail on, like, how I do things. Like, the last episode really was about executive functioning disorder, but that's not something you have. It's not something that you have a problem with. You just do stuff. And I've thought about it. Because I thought about doing it this week on things you've got, and we've only ever listed mine. But do you have any additional stuff apart from the... Because everything that you've got problems with, sensory and all that kind of stuff, they're all specifically autistic related. They're all directly are Asperger's. They're not a byproduct of Asperger's, or they're not additional because of your Asperger's. They're just your Asperger's. But yeah, I've known you a while. I can't pick any. I mean, I want to say... you're dyspraxic, but you're not clumsy to a level of, I don't know, I mean, you're not like, not in a bad way, but you do have some issues with your driving when it comes to like parking.
That is 100% accurate.
And like driving around multi-story car parks and that kind of thing. You do seem to have some issues with the car, but you don't have the same issues when you're on foot, or the same issues when you're on a bike, with like spatial awareness. So I don't even know if you've got the dyspraxia. I mean, you might do. You might just be better at hiding it than I've realised. I don't see you like trip up a lot or kick stuff over. You're a little bit clumsy.
I am quite clumsy.
But that's more like you drop stuff or like that kind of thing. I've never seen you like move around and kick stuff over or stuff like that. So yeah, I was just wondering, do you think you've got any, or... Is there anything I've missed? Like, do you think you've got any, like, additional stuff?
One of the big things that came up when I was looking up extra things that I would say that I have is an eating disorder.
Right.
I think that I have got an eating disorder. I haven't got anorexia, which I think is, like, the main one, and I haven't got bulimia, which I guess are the main two. I would say that I have had anorexia. When I was younger, I went through a phase of really not eating, like definitely to the point of starving myself. I'd always eat dinner because my mum would cook dinner, and I never wanted anyone to notice that I had this. So I would eat dinner, but I wouldn't eat any lunch when I was at school. And I would pretend to eat breakfast, but I'd put like... 2 or 3 bits of cereal in a bowl and a little bit of milk. I'd eat that, and then it would look like I'd used a bowl for cereal, but I wouldn't have actually eaten anything. And I did have this weird sense of, especially when I was at school at lunchtime, I'd watch everyone else eat and I'd feel quite powerful, but that I wasn't. It was a weird thing I had where I felt like, oh, look how in control I am. I'm not eating and I'm better than you guys because I'm not eating. So I would say that I have an eating disorder.
Still?
Yeah. I don't do that anymore. But I do have a thing about being healthy. And whenever I eat something unhealthy, I know this is like true for other people as well, so I don't want to put it like 100% down to this, but I know myself and I know what I'm like. If I eat something unhealthy, I'll think about that for days unless I've come up with a really good way to justify it in my head. And I'll almost punish myself on the days after. I've got a lot better at dealing with it now. I used to be a lot worse I'd punish myself for days after by like not eating. But even now I have a thing, so if I can't eat the specific thing I've planned to eat, then I get so worked up that I punish myself by just not eating at all. So if like for lunch I plan something and then for whatever reason I can't get it, I'm so annoyed at myself that I didn't prepare enough to already have that thing in the cupboards, or to not think that the shop would have run out so I didn't buy it yesterday or whatever, that I just will punish myself by not eating. And it does feel like I'm sort of punishing myself, like telling myself, you deserve this. So I think like I have a bit of an eating disorder.
And you said that you read that that's a common one.
Yeah.
To come with,
especially
with Asperger's.
With females.
Yeah, I was going to say, the doctor that we saw on Wednesday that was diagnosing you, he said that controlling food and that kind of thing is a common additional trait for females on the spectrum, or female burgers.
Yeah.
He said that that is standard. Well, not standard, but he said it's very common to have problems with food,
yeah,
or that kind of thing. So yeah, it makes sense.
And I just want to like point out, I don't starve myself and I'm not like massively underweight and I don't undereat or anything like that.
You eat a lot of meals with me, to be fair.
Yeah.
And my portion sizes are a bit mental. And you eat most of it, and
yeah,
we eat at the same time, and I see you eat it.
Yeah,
so,
no,
like, I'm kind of aware of, of what you're doing, which is, I guess, why I said I can't think of anything that you've got.
Yeah.
Because this is one that I would say you don't do. You might have used to do it, but I've not seen you do it.
Well, I think I'm very in control of it now. Like, I know what I'm like, so I understand it. I definitely have times where I'm worse than others, so sometimes, if I'm having like a bad week or I'm stressed, I slip into a habit of trying to punish myself, or I guess regain some control by not eating. But it is a lot rarer now. It doesn't happen very often. But I know that it's still something that it exists in my brain, if that makes sense. Like, I know it's there, but I do have quite a good control of it. And I don't often start not eating or like trying to punish myself or restrict. It is, but when I do it, I'm aware of why I'm doing it. It's always a weird control thing, and it does, for some reason, if I can not eat or eat something very little or be really structured on my food, it just makes me feel more in control. Other than that, I don't know. I've been told by a lot of ex-boyfriends and things like that, or friends, that I seem bipolar.
Yeah, but I just, not to cut you off too much there.
Yeah,
but,
no.
Bipolar has a lot of similar traits to autism and Asperger's. There's quite a few like groups where we are at the moment where Asperger's and bipolar go to the same meetings. So
yeah,
there's one meeting that both of them attend for like different things that are related. So bipolar is one of those ones that people roughly kind of know more about it than autism. It's easier to pinpoint than autism, even though I would say 90% of people, if you ask them what bipolar is, they explain it completely wrong.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of friends that are bipolar, and I've seen them go through the process of it, and it's not what you think it is.
No.
So like, they always just, people just think when people are like happy and like, you know, ecstatic, mental, like really like, I don't know, excited,
yeah,
and then they just go from that to I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
People think that's what bipolar is. They think it's like this Jekyll and Hyde like disorder, but because it's easier to explain it if you,
yeah,
I mean, that explanation I've just given is actually wrong to how bipolar works, but
yeah,
that's the common one that people have. And when they're in a relationship with you,
yeah,
and they see you like happy and jumpy and like whatever, And then, you know, you have like a meltdown, which is essentially what it is, where you're upset, you know, when you tell me you're feeling a bit blue.
That is my go-to phrase.
Yeah, like that can be, because autism, try and explain to somebody what Asperger's is. Like if you said to somebody, oh, I've got Asperger's.
There's so many things to list, and it's so unique.
And most people, you know, mock your behavior based on how they're behaving, and your behavior doesn't match theirs, but theirs is similar to the other people they know.
Yeah.
So they need to give it a name to what you have. And bipolar is just one of those ones that's easier to go, it's that.
Yeah.
Because, but even then, like I say, they've misconstrued what it is. Like I say, a couple of friends that I know that have got it, I've been with them when they're at the high and the low and that kind of thing. And it's not like that. It's not like 50-50 or that kind of thing. It's weird. Their high is when they are happy, and when they are thing, they try and force that on everybody else they're around. So my friend, when she was in a like high period and when she was happy, she'd be super happy and everything was great and everything was awesome. But then equally, if I talked to her and I was a little bit like, yeah, I don't care, she'd just be like pushing me and like joking and telling me to cheer up and telling me to stop being such a crybaby. And she was trying to make me be the same as her. And then the next person she bumped into, they weren't happy. So she was just like, come on, it don't matter, like this kind of, and she was like that all the time. But then when she'd have her lows, you wouldn't see them because she'd just lock herself in a bedroom, turn her phone off, turn everywhere getting hold of her. You just wouldn't see her for 2 days. Yeah. And that's how I knew she was on one of her low bits, because, and it's not like a quick switch. It's not like a happy, sad, happy, sad. She'd be happy. She could be happy for like a week.
Yeah.
Just completely like happy, constantly doing that, forcing everyone else to be as happy as she is and being really annoying for a week, and then suddenly she'd just disappear.
Yeah.
And we'd go to lessons at uni and be like, where is she? And no one had seen her for like 4 days. But I understood the reason you're not seeing her is because she just does not want to do anything.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to go out. She doesn't want to talk to people. She doesn't want to like do stuff. But then she'd just appear again, and then there'd be periods where she was neither one or the other. She was just
in between,
in the middle, and she just behaved normally. It's not like she had to be one or the other all the time. She just sometimes would have these spikes of one or the other.
Yeah.
Which is way more complicated than saying to someone, oh, you were like really happy and like up here and everything, and now look at you, you're crying, you're bipolar. And yeah, that's what I mean. And I think there's certain traits that come with bipolar that are identical to that of Asperger's. If you look at the criteria of what makes you bipolar, there's definitely like 4 or 5 in there that you could then see in a, this is what means you've got Asperger's.
Yeah, like I do have, sometimes I can have quite intense highs and quite intense lows, and then in-betweens that I am most of the time. But yeah, I don't think I've got bipolar. I just know that that's a thing that a lot of ex-boyfriends used to, and ex-friends used to say. Other than that, I don't really know. I definitely have anxiety, but it's not very outward. You can't usually tell. But for instance, when I crashed my car after the first day of working in the office, I then couldn't drive the car to work, and Nikki had to drive me to work every day for the rest of that week. And that's because the idea of getting into the car park again, like how anxious I felt about that, I just couldn't do it. And I think like that's where my anxiety comes in, but a lot of the time people wouldn't understand that. And I think anxiety, unfortunately, is definitely a phrase that gets thrown about too much now, to the point where it's almost lost its actual meaning. The amount of times you hear people go, oh no, I'm too anxious about that, or I'm really anxious, which you can be anxious, it's different, but yeah, like, oh, I've got so much anxiety, when they haven't. Like, not saying that every time someone says that they haven't, but it does get thrown around a lot. Whereas,
yeah, what's it called, just as a thing? So do people have like an anxiety, because you can get a formal diagnosis of anxiety, but it's got a name. It's like, is it an anxiety disorder, or
I'm not sure. Yeah,
either way, but yeah, people get anxious. But yeah, I think because there's like this big mental health drive and everyone's like pushing for everyone to understand mental health and to be more accepting. I get what you mean. There are people out there that I think don't have an anxiety problem. They're just feeling anxious for that particular thing that you're doing, which is normal. Like everybody gets anxious.
Yeah.
But I do feel like some people now just want to claim that they must have an anxiety problem. When you never see them anxious, they're never really someone you see anxious. One time you see them anxious and it's like, yeah, I think I've got a disorder. I do feel like some people are going for that one a bit too much. So yeah. I get what you mean by
like,
that.
Like one thing I do, I won't go into too much detail about it, but it's something that I do and I know I do it and it's wrong, is I get anxious about other people doing something, even though I know they're going to do it. And if they do it, it's okay. If I get in my head that they're going to do it and I don't want them to, I will build up to a level of anxiety that when they do it, it almost like not destroys me, but will cause me to have meltdowns, even though I knew it was going to happen and I knew I could be okay with it. But I've built myself up to almost deliberately be annoyed and worked up by it. That probably doesn't make much sense without using an example, but the only example I've got in my head, I don't actually want to say on this right now. But yeah, I get in my head that something's going to happen, get really anxious about it because I don't want it to happen. But then instead of just saying to the person, because I know they're going to do it, please, can you not do this? Just, I need a minute to think about it and then I'll probably be able to do it and it's fine. I just work up and work up and work up until they've done it, and then I'm explosive and I can't focus and I can't think about anything. I don't know if, I have that, and I do that a lot. It's like getting annoyed about something that I don't need to get annoyed about, but because I've preemptively made myself irritated by it, that happens. But yeah, other than that, I don't know. It might come to light more things when we start doing the diagnosis, but yeah, I don't really have many extra things. I'm not dyslexic. Arguably not dyspraxic. I am very clumsy, but we'll see. Like,
you're just clumsy. And it's not constant. You just, sometimes you'll drop something.
Yeah.
But you, I would say that that happens like a couple of times a month where you'll just drop something and I'll be like, what are you doing? Like, why have you dropped that?
Sometimes my hands will just let go of something. Like, I can be holding a mug and 2 seconds later, my hands have just let go of it for no reason. I'm very jumpy. Like, I'm easily startled.
Yep.
And I have a... I'm not very good at pinpointing where noise is coming from. So something can be making a noise somewhere and I will think that it's, like, in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that is definitely something you do. Like, if you can't find your phone and you make me ring it, I just think this is a massive waste of time because it doesn't matter. You won't know where that sound's coming from.
Yeah.
And I have to go find it anyway.
I'm really bad at that. And I think that's why I'm so easily startled, because if someone's making a noise, so they're, like, approaching me, I can't work out where that noise is coming from. Where it's most obvious is with sirens, especially now I drive, but even when I used to like walk, I'd try and work out where the siren's coming from. I can't work it out. To me, the siren just sounds like it's coming sort of 360 from all around. So I will always sort of just stop. And at the moment when I'm driving my car, I'll just stop, even though the siren could be ages away or not coming down the road. I don't know. I can't work it out. I look for it. And if I can't see it, I just stop until the noise is gone. Because I really can't work out if it's coming from behind me, in front of me, side to side. Yeah. I don't know. That's a thing I have.
I would say that's in there. I definitely think that's somehow linked to your Asperger's. I've read it before about some people can't pinpoint sound and they hear a sound, but it sounds like it's coming from anywhere. It's like a good example of this is I have my dehumidifier, and when it's full of water, it makes like a beeping noise.
Yeah,
you know what that beeping noise is.
Yeah, I do.
It's happened more than once.
I do.
But every time it happens, you sit upright, you're like alert, what's that noise, where's that noise coming from?
Yeah, I do. Every time
you do it, every time you know what it is. There's only one thing in my flat that makes that noise. It's not like it's, and it's quite a unique beeping that it makes. But you just sit upright and you're like alert and like almost a little bit startled and you're just like, what's that? Where's that coming from?
I think the reason I do that is because to me, that noise doesn't sound like it's coming from the dehumidifier. Like, even though I know that's the noise it makes, it always to me sounds like it's coming from another room. So I'm always, where's that noise coming from? I know in my head that it must be the dehumidifier, but also the sound does not sound like it's coming from that direction. And it really throws me off every time because I think I know where I can hear this coming from and it's not there, so it can't be that.
Yeah.
Even though it's every time. And like logically it makes sense, but I don't know, it's a thing. So I have that. But other than that, yeah, I have a lot of traits of autism, so...
Yeah, I would say that, because I always say this all the time, that your Asperger's will be quicker to diagnose than mine, because yours is way more blatant than mine.
Yeah.
And you always like, no, it's not. But, I feel like, even though everybody's Asperger's is the same, in a sense, I feel like yours is... I feel like you have more traits of it than I do.
I do have a lot of traits. So
maybe that's why I mean, obviously that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not like there's a set amount of everything you're supposed to have and you don't get any extra, like, disorders and whatever because you've got too much Asperger's. And
yeah,
I've got less Asperger's, so I've got room for disorders. But, yeah, it's everything I ever list about you and the things that you do and that kind of thing, I don't see them as a... As a thing, but then equally, yeah. Like this executive functioning disorder, I don't even know what that was like 2 months ago. And I would have put it down to the reason I don't do things is an Asperger related thing, and it turns out it's not. So, like you said, like once you've got a diagnosis, you might go, oh, wait, what about this?
Yeah, it would be interesting for me because I have a lot of mental behaviours that are really self-destructive and I know I have them and I won't go into detail about them now. And they're not very obvious. It's just stuff I know in my head I do. The anxiety one that I just spoke about is one of them. Like, I can do quite self-destructive head stuff. I don't know if that might be linked to the Asperger's. It'd be interesting to talk in therapy about that. Like, why I do it. Because sometimes I will start a conversation and I know that person. I know exactly where they're going to go with the conversation and I know what they're going to say is going to irritate me to a point of being really irritated. But I will still do it because it's almost like I enjoy the self-destruction. I don't do it as much anymore, but it's a thing I know I do. Like, it's almost like I enjoy winding myself up.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's stuff like that, but yes.
Yes. Okay then, that's it for this week. Thanks everyone for listening. We are still steadily climbing with our listener bases, that kind of thing. I know everyone's been posting a lot of stuff in our group on Facebook, and both me and you have been awful this week, like going
yes,
into them.
Yes, we have.
I've had loads of notifications on my phone telling me that people have been posting stuff, and we haven't done anything. The reasons mainly are because Scarlett had her diagnosis thing this week, and Scarlett... and me, because I was coming with you, we had a lot on with that.
We were gonna do it last night as well, and something really dramatic happened last night, which
actually,
we won't
go
into.
No,
but
yeah.
we had a really horrific night. We're fine now and everything's sorted now.
So yeah, we were gonna go, we should have a look, but yeah, we didn't end up doing it. So yeah, I get lunch breaks now, like set lunch breaks. I might have a look, and I'll probably need you to read some of them because some people have posted some stuff that's longer.
Yeah,
and I'm terrible at going through them.
You're in work at like 9 tomorrow morning, and I don't start work till 3 every day. So there's a good chance tomorrow morning I'll sit down with the laptop at some point and go through it all as well. Because I do that on my mornings or when I'm eating lunch or something. So yeah.
But yeah, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for listening.
Feel free to
like our Facebook page.
feel free to join our group.
And the group, yeah. Let's get the group. Add yourself to the group as well.
Feel free to message us any episode ideas or just
things you want to talk about or questions you want to ask based on stuff we've said. We're actually better at replying to the private messages than the posts on the Facebook group. The thing with the group is there's loads of people on there that know loads of stuff. There's quite a few people in our group now that are quite knowledgeable and know quite lots of things, and they seem to be replying and talking to each other. There's a couple of people on there that I've noticed are really helpful and know a lot of stuff, so those people, like, thanks. But yeah, there's quite a few people in the group now. I think we've got like over 100 people in there. So, and a lot of them are either on the spectrum or know somebody. And so, yeah, there's some good advice floating around on there that I've noticed. Like, sometimes I think, oh, I should say that. And then I see that somebody else has said it and then said something like additional that was better. So
Yeah.
I've then just sort of gone, oh, I'll just
A
like
lot
it
of
then.
stuff that's said as well is really interesting. Like, this executive function thing just came from the group, someone commenting saying it. And actually, like, the more stuff you tell us, the more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've
Like,
taken that.
we're super interested in it. So if you do have any thoughts or feelings or comments on anything we've said, like, that you think, oh, that might be that, or you just want to share your own experience with it, please do. Feel free to private message us, speak on the page, whatever you feel more comfortable with. But I really enjoy reading it. It's really useful to us. I actually think that we have both come along, like, almost improved within ourselves just from things that
Yeah, I
you
mean, if
guys
this
have said.
person, I can't remember who it is now, that mentioned that said executive function, sort of, if they hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have gone to my boss. I wouldn't have mentioned it. It wouldn't be something that is now like an additional help for me at work. So, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Like I say, thanks again.
Thank you so much. And we will speak to you next week. Bye.